Lord knew the actually everyone's desire. But although all these may be contradictory, the Lord has to create a situation in which everyone will be pleased. So he knows everyone's desire, all knowing, but he creates the situation in such a way everyone will be pleased. At least I remember this purport. If you remember in the fourth canto, I think 17th chapter, when the Prithu Maharaj milking the mother earth. So if you remember that when Prithu Maharaj becomes angry with mother earth, then mother earth takes the form of a cow, and then she is actually running different places, and then and finally she offers prayers to Prithu Maharaj. The fourth canto, 17th chapter, the last few verses, when she offers prayers to Prithu Maharaj, I think in that purport Prabhupada writes sometimes the mother earth is saying that your activities are so inconceivable. Previously you appeared as Varaha Dev and then you protected me, but now you have appeared in another form and you are trying to actually kill me. I am not able to understand your inconceivable activities. Like that she is offering a prayer, and in that purport Prabhupada says the Lord is actually inconceivable. Sometimes thief may pray to the Lord that please help me so that I can steal the property. But the other person in the house may pray to the Lord that actually please protect me from thieves. So something like that. And then super soul actually sometimes doesn't such a way, like both parties are satisfied. So Lord's activities are inconceivable, like that he says. So here the elderly Brahmana considered how to get out of the situation and still offer his daughter to the young Brahmana. But his son, an atheist and a very cunning fellow, was thinking of how to stop the marriage. The father and son were thinking in a contradictory way, yet Krishna created a situation wherein they agreed. Both of them agreed. They both agreed that if the Gopal's deity would come and serve as a witness, the daughter would be given to the young Brahmana. So then the elderly Brahmana thought that because Krishna is very merciful, therefore he will certainly come to prove my statement. But the atheistic thought, he thought that how will actually Gopal come and pay as a witness. So at this time the younger Brahmana told all the people, please at this time all of you, he told all the villagers, all of you write down on this paper in black and white so that you may not again change your word of honor. So you see that this is an important principle. Sometimes if you want to avoid serious conflicts, you have to put serious agreements into writing. Previously people were more God conscious. Simply by the word of honor it was taken care of. But as time progressed, it had to be written down actually. It should be written evidence. And of course there are certain this thing, this also has a other part to it. When we are writing something, we have to be very careful what we are writing, because it will become an evidence later. It will become an evidence. Sometimes even a spiritual organization, sometimes somebody asks a guidance from some spiritual leader, and then that leader gave some guidance, and that was he wrote in an email or something. So then that email was, because that was related to certain principle, it was controversial. Then that email was actually taken by that particular person, and then he actually propagated everywhere, and then he said, oh see, this leader gave this kind of advice, and then he was he went into trouble actually. So therefore sometimes in giving guidance to people, we can tell them better you call me instead of actually. Of course, nowadays there is a facility for even recording the call also, that is also there. So, don't call, don't message. Sensitive thing. Face to face, yeah. Yeah, it's a valid point. What were you saying? But of course, here it is made in the form of, especially when there is an agreement, it is better to actually write it down. Then all the assembly, they all agreed to that, and then they made the agreement. Then the younger Brahmana said, so 83rd verse, Tabe Chota Viprakahe Shuna Sarvajana. Yevipra Satya Vakya Dharma Parayana.
Young Brahmana then said, will all you gentlemen present please hear me? This elderly Brahmana is certainly truthful and is following religious principles.
Swavakya Chadite Ihara Nahi Kabumana. Svajana Mrityubhaye Kahe Asatya Vachana.
Svajana Mrityubhaye Kahe Asatya Vachana.
He had no desire to break his promise, but fearing that his kinsmen would commit suicide, he deviated from the truth.
Ihara Punya Krishne Ani Sakshi Bolaiba. Tabe Ei Viprera Satya Pratigya Rakiba.
By the piety of the elderly Brahmana, I shall call the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a witness. Thus I shall keep his truthful promise intact.
So you see that younger Brahmana, he did not actually misunderstand the elderly Brahmana's intentions. He could see that this person, because of the pressure, he said like that. He's telling that actually he had no desire to break the promise. So this is another principle which comes forth here, is that one should not judge a person based on his circumstantial nature. So this elderly Brahmana, in that particular circumstance, he actually said in that manner, oh, I don't remember the promise. So the younger Brahmana is not judging the elderly Brahmana based on his circumstantial nature. So we have to see the overall nature of the person. We have to see the sincerity of the person. Sometimes a person is genuinely sincere, but in a particular circumstance, because of certain this one, he may actually do something wrong. So that has to be, like Parikshit Maharaj, like so many examples. Parikshit Maharaj also, like disrespecting Sringi, Samikrishi, that was a circumstantial nature. So sometimes even the same principle with respect to the demons also. Sometimes in a particular circumstance, they may behave like a gentleman. When there is an earthquake in Gujarat, like the Pakistan, they sent relief material to India. So you may wonder, or they became gentlemen. It's just a circumstantial nature. So he's saying that, so I will call the Supreme Lord to make the promise intact. So hearing the emphatic statement of the younger Brahmana, some atheists in the meeting began to cut jokes. However, someone else said, after all, the Lord is merciful, and if he likes, he can come. Then immediately the younger Brahmana started for Vrindavan, and then he offered obeisances to the Gopal deity, and then started speaking to the deity. 88th verse. Brahmanya Deva Tumi Bada Dayamaya. Duivi Prera Dharma Raka Hana Sadaya.
He said, my Lord, you are the protector of Brahmanical culture, and you are also very merciful. Therefore, kindly show your great mercy by protecting the religious principle of us to Brahmanas.
So here the younger Brahmana is saying that it's not that I'm not interested in marrying that particular girl. I'm only interested in maintaining the promise of the elderly Brahmana. And that is what is giving me great pain, that he's not able to actually maintain his promise. And for that reason, actually, I'm approaching you. 90th verse. Yeta jani tumi sakshi deha dayama. Jani sakshi nahi deya tara papah.
The young Brahmana continued, "My dear sir, you are very merciful and you know everything. Therefore, kindly be a witness in this case. A person who knows things as they are and still does not bear witness becomes involved in sinful activities."
So you see the actually affectionate dealing between the young Brahmana with the Gopal deity. He's saying that you are actually a witness, and if you don't appear as a witness, you will become involved in sinful activities. Actually, Krishna can never incur sinful activities, but it is the intimate devotion of the young Brahmana with the Supreme Lord which is making him say like that. So Prabhupada talks about the simplicity of the young Brahmana with the Supreme Lord. A pure devotee, even though he knows everything of the Supreme Lord, can speak with the Lord exactly as if he were a common man. Although the dealings between the Lord and his devotee are always very simple and open, there is formality. All these things happen because of the connection between the Lord and the devotee. So there is a combination of simplicity and formality. That is the nature of the dealings between the Lord and the devotee. So here, the young Brahmana is accusing the Lord, if you don't come as a witness, you will incur the sin of omission. There are sin of commission and sin of omission. Sin of commission means a person actually commits a sinful activity. Sin of omission means when somebody can do something to stop that, when he is not doing anything, then that is actually sin of omission. In the same context here, like somebody is actually a witness to something, witness to the crime, or in this case, witness to the particular promise, and if he is not appearing as a witness, if he is not doing that, then he gets involved in sinful activities. So Gandhari also accused Krishna as actually sin of omission, but that was actually out of hatred, out of her attachment towards the sons. And after the battle was over, then the Pandavas wanted to go and meet, I think, Gandhari. That time nobody was actually ready to go in front of Gandhari because they knew the power of Gandhari's chastity, and if she becomes angry, and then she can burn everyone to ashes. Then somehow they told Krishna, and then Krishna went forward to meet Gandhari. And Krishna went forward to meet Gandhari. So Gandhari spoke to Krishna, like, "You are Janardhan. You are the Supreme Lord. If you had wanted, you could have stopped this entire war. And because you did not stop this war, although you are the Janardhan, therefore you have performed the sin of actually not doing anything." Of course, Krishna did so much. He went as a peace messenger. He gave so many chances. But this is Gandhari's point of view. And then Gandhari actually cursed Krishna that your family will also be annihilated in a fratricidal war like that. Your dynasty will also. But that is like another example. Gandhari was accusing Krishna to be sin of omission out of attachment towards his sons. But here the younger Brahmana is accusing the Lord out of actually love towards the Lord. Another example of sin of omission is that in the Isopanishad, this verse comes that andam tama pramishanti ye sambhuti ye avidyam upasate tato bhuya yuvate tamo yau vidyayam rata. So those who follow avidya, they enter into the darkest region of ignorance. And those who are so-called followers of knowledge, their destination is even more worse. So Madhvacharya, when he writes a translation to this verse, he says that those who are following, those who are propagating wrong knowledge, avidya, wrong philosophy, those who are interpreting scriptures, they definitely enter into the andam tama pravishati, they enter into ignorance. But the second point he says is that, but those who know the right knowledge, and when they see that there are others who are interpreting and misguiding the people, and when they don't do anything about it, although they have the right knowledge, when they don't do anything about it, then their destination is even more worse. That means like he's warning about like those who have the right knowledge but they don't preach to others, those who have the wealth but they don't preach to others, they'll get a much severe reaction. So in that sense, Madhvacharya talks about that sin of omission. Those who are interpreting, they are committing sin of commission. And those who have the right knowledge, but they don't actually distribute that knowledge, they are committing sin of omission. And Prabhupada also mentions that in that the 13th chapter, Ahimsa, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshanti Rajam, Ahimsa, if you are not preaching Krishna consciousness, then you are committing actually, you are indulging in violence. Go ahead. Then Krishna replied, actually, okay, you go back to your home and then you call all the elderly people there, and then when you go to their meeting, that time you just remember me, and then I will appear there, and then I will protect the honor of both of you brahmanas by bearing witness. The young brahmana said, but even if you appear in your 400 form in that assembly, none of these people will believe in your words. Only if you come in this particular form as the Gopal, in this form as a deity, only then all these people will actually bear witness. They will actually accept the words, the promise given by the elderly Brahmana. But then Krishna said, but I have never heard that a deity walking from one place to another place. The young Brahmana said, but that is true, but how is it that you are speaking to me? If you can speak to me, then you can also walk. So this 96th verse is the most important verse. Pratimanaha tumi sakshat vrajendra nandan vipralagi kara tumi akarya karan.
My dear Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Now, for the sake of the old Brahmana, you can do something you have never done before.
So, this young Brahmana, we can see his full character is coming here. Say, Sakshat Vrajendra Nandan. You are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are not a Pratima Naga to me. You are not a You are not actually a statue. The deity is not a representation of the Supreme Lord, but the deity is the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. So, as Radhana Swami Maharaj explained in a class, he said that Krishna is not in the deity, but Krishna is the deity. The person thinks that Krishna is in the deity, then that is actually wrong. Krishna is the deity. Pratima naha tumi, like deity is not the representation. He is not a pratima. But Sakshat Vrajendra Nandan, he is the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Lord. So, So then at that time Gopalji smiled and said that, okay, just listen to me. Okay, I shall walk behind you and in this way I shall go along with you. So here Prabhupada talks about the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. Just like all these energies, earth, water, fire, air, ether, they are all actually energy of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Krishna by his inconceivable potency, he can manifest in the, he can make himself available in this material form. So therefore, when we talk about the deity form of the Lord, Archa Vigraha, it shows the merciful nature of the Lord in making himself available or accessible even to the common people, even to the neophyte devotee. That's why Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur would say that Archa Vigraha is the causeless mercy upon the Kanishta Adhikari. Just like the Prabhupada gives an example, just like the sun, through his energy in the form of sunshine, it is distributing its heat and light. Similarly, Krishna by his inconceivable power can appear in his original spiritual form in any material element. So the young Brahmana, because of his advanced devotional service, he knew that although the deity of Gopal appeared to be a stone, he was not stone. He had a faith that this deity is the Supreme Lord. So once, I think one devotee went to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he said that I am angry with Krishna. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, oh, that means you are really advanced. Said that means in order to be angry with Krishna, you have to actually believe that Krishna exists. So here the, you said in a jovial manner, but he said, so here the young Brahmana is having a full faith in the Supreme Lord. So there's another important point. In the 96th verse, the second line, Vipralagi karatumi akarya karana. For the sake of the old Brahmana, you can do something which you have never done before. Akarya karana. Remember that there is this verse which comes that kartum akartum anyata kartum, the definition of I think Bhagavan, or kartum akartum anyata kartum. Anybody remember, sir? I felt that it is similar to that. You can do something which you have never done before, that is just impossible. So then the Lord continued that actually don't try to see me by turning around. Yeah, what is the meaning?
Whatever he likes.
He can do and undo whatever he likes. Achha, okay. I thought similar to that verse. Akarya karan. So here it means that you can do something which you have never done before. Then the Lord put a condition, okay, you go along and then do not turn behind, and every day you offer 1 kilo of rice to me. And the next day Brahmana actually started, and the young Brahmana, he went along, and then from Vidyanagar, from Vrindavan, the deity came to the outskirts of Vidyanagar. So then at that time, when the Lord came to the outskirts of Vidyanagar, he felt, so he was previously hearing the ankle bells of the deity. But when the Lord came to the outskirts of Vidyanagar, the Brahmana began to think that if the people didn't directly see the Gopal deity, they would not believe that he had arrived. But even if Gopal stays here, he thought that there is still nothing to fear. So thinking in this way, the Brahmana turned back and he saw that Gopal was standing there smiling. So the Lord told the Brahmana, okay, now you can go home and then I shall stay here and shall not leave. And immediately the young Brahmana went to the town and called all the people. Then all the people came there and they all offered obeisances. The people arrived, so they were like wonderstruck by seeing the beauty of Gopal. And they were all greatly surprised. They offered dandavats to the Gopal deity. Then after that, the elderly Brahmana gave his daughter in marriage to the young Brahmana. 113th verse. Tabe sei dui.
In the drama until I have seen, when the tinkle bell of Krishna stops, then Brahmana turns around and sees. Uh-huh. And then Krishna says, now I will not walk anymore further.
Here it is not it's mentioned not in the narration actually. It is just mentioned that Brahmana thinking, it's not mentioned that he stopped hearing the tinkle bell. He just turned behind the deity.
And in verse number 102, it is said, the tinkling sound of his ankle bells could be heard. The Brahmana became very pleased and he cooked it. He said, that's all. And then Lord came to the village and he stood, it seems. There.
Yeah, Lord said that. But his point is like, sometimes the drama devotees portray that, I think when the young Brahmana stopped hearing the tinkle bell, then he turns behind.
Here it is said in 105, the Brahmana then began to think that if the people didn't directly see the Gopal deity, they would not believe that he had arrived. And then he thought, but if Gopal stays here, there is still nothing to fear. Because now when he turned around, he is seeing Gopal. And then next shloka says, thinking this, the Brahmana turned to look back. And he saw that Gopal, Supreme Personal Godhead, was standing there smiling. That's all he says. It doesn't say, I think, Lord refused to walk further. Because you have turned or turned back to me, I will not.
₹1 kilo rice. Some of you was arranging an offering. 113th verse. Tabe sei dui vipre kahila ishvara. Tumi dui janme janme amara kinkara.
After the marriage ceremony was performed, the Lord informed both Brahmanas, you two Brahmanas are my eternal servant birth after birth.
So here, saying that you are my eternal servants birth after birth, this is another purport which Prabhupada made many nice points. So here it's mentioned the Gopal is saying that you two are my Nitya Siddha devotees, eternally my servants. The symptom of a Nitya Siddha is that, yesterday also we read that purport. What was mentioned, Nitya Siddha? One never forgets the Supreme Lord. Same point is repeated here. So there are two kinds of living entities, Nitya Baddha and Nitya Siddha. So when it is mentioned, you are my servants birth after birth, usually only a conditioned soul undergoes birth after birth. Only in the material world there is birth after birth. In the spiritual world there is no birth after birth. But sometimes the Nitya Siddha devotees, they appear in this world and they take birth after birth, not because of they have some certain karma or something, but they take birth after birth in order to assist in the mission of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes that by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nitya Siddha remains within this material world like an ordinary man, but the only business of the Nitya Siddha is to broadcast the glories of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada talked about in regards to the meaning of the word Bhavananda Prabhu. One who takes pleasure in actually taking birth in this world. In regard to the same purport here. So Krishna accepted the two Brahmanas as his eternal servants, but both Brahmanas took much trouble in these negotiations, just like mundane people, yet they were acting as eternal servants of the Lord. all the Nitya Siddhas within this material world may appear to toil like ordinary men, but they never forget their position as servants of the Lord. The Nitya Siddha devotees, one example which can be given is that they are like, yeah, like when you have the snake, when you, snake tablet during Diwali, when you like the snake tablet, like snake comes out of the snake tablet. So it appears like a real snake, but actually if you touch it, it just crumbles into powder. So the Nitya Siddha devotees, when they actually perform different activities, they appear to be like performing activities like any ordinary karmic people, ordinary like materialistic people. But it is like completely different from the, they're completely different from the Nitya Baddha living entities. Then finally, Prabhupada quotes Narottam Das Thakur's statement, and he says that one who accepts the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nitya Siddha is to be certain to be elevated to the spiritual kingdom to become an associate of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord continued that I am very pleased with the truthfulness of both of you. Now you can ask for a benediction. The Brahmana said that please remain here so that people all over the world will know how merciful you are to your servants. 116th verse. Gopal Rahila Duhe Karena Sevana Dekite Aila Sabha Deshera Loka Jana.
Lord Gopal stayed and the two Brahmanas engaged in his service. After hearing of the incident, many people from different countries began to come to see Gopal.
So this pastime shows that how the, like another point which was remained was that how the Krishna was following behind his devotee. Gopal was following behind the younger Brahmana. So there's a verse in the Uddhava Gita. Nirapeksham munim shantam nirvairam samadarshanam anuvrajam yaham nityam puyaye tangri renubihi. It's 11.14.16 where Krishna says that with the dust of my devotee's lotus feet I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. So therefore I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity and equal disposition everywhere. So here Krishna tried to follow in the footsteps of the younger Brahmana because of his pure attitude. So then the further story is told that the different people came to actually take darshan of Gopal. So eventually it is described that the king of that country heard this wonderful story and then he constructed a nice temple for Gopal and a regular service was started. In this way, Sakshi Gopal came from Vrindavan to Vidyanagar and accepted service for a very long time. And Prabhupada explains where this Vidyanagar is situated. Formerly, this city was situated on the southern side of the river Godavari. At that time, King Purushottam Dev managed to control Orissa and appoint a government. The present city of Vidyanagar is on the southeast side of the river, only 20 to 25 miles from Rajamundri. But during the time of Maharaj Prataparudra, Sri Ramanand Rai was the governor there, and Vijayanagara is not identical with Vidyanagar. So he is actually clarifying that currently what is known as Vijayanagara, it is not same as the Vidyanagar where the Gopal deity was there. So then, like when King Purushottam Dev actually attacked this country of Vidyanagar, then he conquered the king of Vidyanagar. And then the king had a special simhasan called as Manikya Simhasan. And then he took that simhasan and then he offered that simhasan to Jagannath deity. So then the Purushottam Dev, because he was a great devotee and advanced in the civilization of the Aryans, and the 122nd verse is explained that Purushottama Devasei Bada Bhakta Arya ಗೋಪಾಲ ಚರಣೆ ಮಾಗೆ ಚಲ ಮೋರ ರಾಜ್ಯ.
ಕಿಂಗ್ ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ದೇವ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅಡ್ವಾನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸಿವಿಲೈಸೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಆರ್ಯನ್ಸ್. ಹಿ ಬೆಗ್ಡ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೋಪಾಲ್, ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಕಮ್ ಟು ಮೈ ಕಿಂಗ್ಡಮ್.
ಸೊ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಅಡ್ವಾನ್ಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಅಗ್ರೀಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ದ ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಡಿಟಿ ಟು ಕಟಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲರ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್, ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ದಟ್ ಹೌ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕಟಕ್ ಹೌ ಹಿ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ ಪುರಿ, ದೆನ್ ಹೌ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ ಪುರಿ ಹಿ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ಸತ್ಯವಾಡಿ. ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ದೇವ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದ ಸಣ್ಣ ಪ್ರತಾಪ ರುದ್ರ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, ಈಸ್ ಅ ಪ್ರಿಡಿಸೆಸರ್ ಫಾದರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ನೌ ದ ಫೋರ್ ಫಾದರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಫಾದರ್
ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಇನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ ದೇರ್ ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ದೇವ್ ವಿತ್ ಸಮ್ ಕಾಂಚಿ ರಾಜ ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಫೈಟಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಸೇಮ್ ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ದೇವ್.
ಬಟ್ ಇಫ್ ವಿ ದ ಸಣ್ಣ ಪ್ರತಾಪ ರುದ್ರ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, that means the story must have happened, Sakshi Gopal coming must have happened so later, isn't it?
Patavrudya Sanak Purushottam De.
Or, achya. Patavrudya Sanak Purushottam De. Ah, okay.
Prabhu, it is said in 123, King took the Gopal deity and went back to Kataka, he said. So, back... Went back means the deity was not in Kataka before, no?
No, deity was in Vidyanagar. From Vidyanagar he brought it to Kataka.
Okay, okay, okay. Now where is Lord Gopal now in Kataka only?
No, near Jagannath Puri, Satyavadi. There is
Satyavadi. Later on from Kataka to Jagannath Puri, yeah? Oh.
That's what the one of the first purport in
both
the chapter.
Both Lord will be very famous. Because Gopal will be famous and Jagannath is also famous.
So it is described that in Katak, the Queen of Purushottam Dev, like she wanted to offer a nose ring to Gopal. But then she was feeling that will Gopal have the hole in his, this one, how can I offer the nose ring? That time, on that day, night, the Gopal actually came in the dream of the king and said that, actually, in my childhood, my mother put a hole in my nose. So you can definitely offer the nose ring. And next day, the pujari went and saw there was actually a hole. And then she offered the nose ring. So this shows the affection of Gopal towards the Queen of Purushottam Dev, who is a great devotee of the Lord. So 133rd verse. Sei haite gopalera katake tasthiti. Ei lagi sakshi gopal namahaila kyati.
Since then, Gopal has been situated in the city of Katak and he has been known ever since as Sakshi Gopal.
So we see that this Gopal deity is not simply a historical Sakshi, but is an eternal Sakshi. Historically, he bore witness to those two Brahmanas, the people of the particular village, Vidyanagar. But historically that is there, but then he is also eternally, he is situated as a Sakshi Gopal to show that how he actually reciprocated with his pure devotees, how is proving that how he is actually non-different from the deity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this narration and he and his personal devotees became very pleased. So then it is described that all the devotees who were there, now they could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Gopal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees saw him and the deity as being of the same form. So they were of the same complexion and both had gigantic bodies. both wore saffron cloth and both were very grave. So when they saw that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gopal are non-different, like they became effulgent, like they were very absorbed in ecstasy, and their faces resembled like full moons. And Nityananda Prabhu, when he saw that Gopal and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that manner, then he began to exchange remarks with the devotees, and they were all smiling. Nityananda Prabhu and all the devotees were smiling. It seems that, like, what is explained, like, they saw the Gopal as non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were wearing the same saffron cloth and both were very grave. It means like that. They could see the Gopal deity turning into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like. Then they actually, Mahaprabhu passed the night in the temple, and then after attending the Mangala Arati, then he started his journey. The further journey is described from 140th verse. 140th verse. Bhuvaneshwara pate yeche kaila darshana vistari varniya chen dasavrindava.
In his book Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has very vividly described the places visited by Lord on the way to Bhuvaneshwara.
So all those some details are explained. Lord's journey on route to from Katak to Bhuvaneshwar. Lord visited a place known as Balihasta or Balakati Chati. Then he visited Bhuvaneshwar. There the Lord Shiva's temple is there. So then Prabhupada gives a story of Lord Shiva temple and Krishna fighting against the Kashi Raj. That story is mentioned. And Lord Shiva came to fight for Kashi Raj. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Kamalapur, he took his bath in the Bargi Nadi river and left his sannyas staff in the hands of Nityananda Prabhu. So in this purport, 141st verse, a few interesting points Prabhupada writes about the spiritual and material benefits of taking bath in the river, in a holy river. From the spiritual point of view, people still go to take a bath in this lake of Bindu Sarovar. Actually, by taking a bath there, one becomes very healthy even from the material viewpoint. Taking a bath and drinking the water of this lake, especially here it is referred to Bindu Sarovar, can cure any disease of the stomach. And regular bathing certainly cures indigestion. And the river Bargi or Bargi Nadi came to be known as Dandabanga Nadi after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in its rivers. The reason for the change in names is given as follows. Next verse. Kapoteshwara Dekite Gela Bhaktagana Sange Yeta Nityananda Prabhu Kaila Dandabange Tina Kanda Kari Danda Dila Basana Bhakta Sange Aila Prabhu Mahesha Dekina.
When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Lord Shiva known as Kapoteshwara, Nityananda Prabhu, who was keeping his sannyas stuff in custody, broke the stuff in three parts and threw it into the river Bhagri Nadi. Later, this river became known as Dandabhanga Nadi.
So here in the purport, Prabhupada explains actually three points. Like, why Nityananda Prabhu actually broke this danda into three parts? Three reasons are explained. So Nityananda Prabhu was thinking that Paramahamsa does not need to carry any danda. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Paramahamsa sannyasi, therefore he does not need to carry danda. Therefore he actually broke it and threw it into the river. And the second reason is that generally Mayavadis only carry ekadanda. But however, Vaishnava sannyasis carry tridanda. So therefore, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Vaishnava sannyasi, So therefore, Nityananda Prabhu actually broke it into three parts. This is the second reason. And the third reason is that because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is automatically a Paramahamsa, was the same as the first reason. So automatically a Paramahamsa, therefore he does not need to carry the sannyas danda. So these points are explained in the purport. Considering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an extraordinary person, Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not wait for the Paramahamsa stage. So usually when a sannyasi, after he spends a certain 10 years, it's explained in one of the purports that then he does not need to carry the under, he comes to a certain advanced stage. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he took sannyas just few days back or few months back, but Nityananda Prabhu felt that because he is an extraordinary person, he is non-different from Radha and Krishna, therefore he does not need to carry the under. This is the reason Nityananda Prabhu broke the staff into three places and threw it into the river. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the temple of Jagannath from a distance. Then immediately he became ecstatic and he offered obeisances to the temple. So Prabhupada says that the present temple of Jagannath Puri was constructed by King Ananga Bhima. Historians say that this temple must have been constructed at least 2000 years ago. During the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the small buildings surrounding the original temple had not been constructed, nor was the high platform in front of the temple present during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He says, what Mahaprabhu was carrying was Ekadanda or Tridanda?
He was carrying Ekadanda.
Oh, that is why he broke, is it? He didn't like Mahaprabhu to carry Yakadanda. That is one reason. Another reason is Mahaprabhu is Paramahamsa.
Yes.
He doesn't need a danda. Only two reasons, no, Prabhu?
Okay. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming towards Jagannath Puri, although he was just 6 miles away, but those 6 miles appeared to be like thousands of miles. And then he came to the place known as Atarnala. And then there he actually spoke to Nityananda Prabhu. He asked to Nityananda Prabhu that where is my danda? And Nityananda Prabhu said that actually danda has been broken into three places. And he said that you actually fell down in ecstasy and then I was trying to catch you. And then both of us fell on the danda. The danda broke into three places because of our weight. And I don't know where those three pieces went, in which direction they went, I cannot say that. And 151st verse. Mora aparade tomar danda haila kanda.
Mora aparade tomar danda haila kanda.
Yei uchita haya mora karatara danda.
Yei uchita haya mora karatara danda.
It is certainly because of my offense that your staff was broken. Now you can punish me on this account as you think proper.
So Nityananda Prabhu is begging forgiveness. Can punish me. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became little sad. And then in an angry mood he spoke. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, Nityananda Prabhu considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carrying staff is useless. But Lord Chaitanya expressed anger in order to set an example for all the sannyasis that they should carry the danda till they come to the stage of Paramahamsa. So for that, he wanted to set an example. Now because his danda has been broken, he is angry that he is not able to set an example. Therefore, Mahaprabhu showed a little anger. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to follow the Vedic principles strictly in order to save inexperienced neophytes who try to imitate Paramahamsas. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually you all done a great benefit to me by bringing me to Jagannath Puri. But then the only possession I had was that danda. But you are not able to protect that danda. You actually you threw the danda somewhere. So therefore, all of you should go before or behind me. I will not go along with you to Jagannath temple. So Mukundatha told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we will not go ahead of you. You please go ahead and we will come actually behind you. So 156th verse. Yeta shuni prabhu age chalila shigra gati. Bujite na parikeha dui prabhu ramati.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began to walk very swiftly before all the others' devotees. No one could understand the real purpose of the two lords, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu.
So here it is explained that actually it's a confidential reason between Nityananda Prabhu breaking the danda, because Prabhupada has highlighted in the purport. The devotees could not understand why Nityananda Prabhu broke the staff, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu permitted him to do so, or why after permitting him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry. So then 158th verse, Dandabanga Leelaye Paramagambira Seibu Jeduharapade Yandra Bhakti Dira.
The pastime of the breaking of the staff is very deep. Only one whose devotion is fixed upon the lotus feet of the two lords can understand it.
So this pastime is a deep pastime, as explained by Prabhupada. One who understands the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu in reality can understand their identity as well as the breaking of the staff. All the previous acharyas, being induced to engage themselves fully in the service of the Lord, gave up attachment for material life and thus accepted the staff, which signifies full engagement of the mind, speech and body in the service of the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the regulative principles of the renounced order of life. However, in the Paramahamsa stage, there is no need to accept a danda, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was certainly in the Paramahamsa stage. But nonetheless, to indicate that everyone should take sannyas at the end of life in order to engage fully in the service of the Lord, even Paramahamsas like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees follow the regulative principles unfailingly. The same point Prabhupada is repeating in the purports. Indeed, that was his purpose. Nityananda Prabhu, who was his eternal servitor, believed that there was no need for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to carry the staff and to declare to the world that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was above all regulations. He broke it into three pieces. So you see, the mood of Nityananda Prabhu is that he wanted to show that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is above all the regulations. Therefore, he broke it. But from the point of view of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to keep the danda in order to actually teach to all the people, to set example for others. So this is the this is how Saraswati Thakur explains this. 159th verse. Brahmanya Deva Gopalera Mahimaye Danya Nityananda Vaktayara Shrota Shri Chaitanya.
The glories of Lord Gopal, who is merciful to the Brahmanas, are very great. The narration of Sakshi Gopal was spoken by Nityanand Prabhu and heard by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So in this purport, Prabhupada says that there are essentially four lessons from this particular pastime. The first pastime is that, the first lesson is that the deity of Sri Gopal is eternally Satchitananda Vigraha, the transcendental form of the Lord. The second lesson is that the deity surpasses material regulative principles and extends the reality of transcendental principles. Basically, the Sakshi Gopal appeared in order to protect the words of the elderly Brahmana and the young Brahmana. The third lesson is that one can be situated in a transcendental position after becoming a Brahmana, but as a Brahmana, one has to follow the regulative principles very strictly. As a Brahmana, one has to follow the regulative principles very strictly. So we can see that how the elderly Brahmana was. He was like very much anxious that he is not able to maintain the promise. And the fourth lesson is that a devotee who is under the protection of Krishna is automatically situated as a Brahmana, and such a Brahmana is not illusioned, and this is factual. These are the four points which are explained. So one who hears this narration of Lord Gopal with faith and love very soon attains the lotus feet of Lord Gopal. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa.
Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps.
So we'll stop here. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Offered things. I also had this thought. How is that queen offering?